Chapter 25, True Colors. A dry wind brushed Ed's hair carelessly back from his face, scouring his cheeks with calloused fingers. Narrowing his eyes, he scanned the horizon, breathing in the bone-dry scent of the desert. He stood on a square of ravaged stone, ages old and polished to a glassy sheen by the elements. All around him, white dunes rose and fell, a drifting ocean of sand. The gritty waves shifted, revealing their secrets. Relics of civilizations past were uncovered and obscured in the blink of an eye, creating nothing more than faint impressions of life long gone. Ships, stark, bare timbers curved like ribs, rode the dunes' peaks, cresting as they went. Spears and shields, the epitaph of a fallen army, stabbed into the air before vanishing again as the massive curved dome of a temple cracked like an eggshell, reared up to catch the glare of the sun on its beaten gold surface. Overhead, the sky was a breathless expanse of cobalt, uninterrupted by clouds or birds. It looked too blue to be real, and the sun was a mere glimmer in its depths, wavering in the heat haze. Sweat beaded Ed's forehead, dripping down his spine and catching on his collarbones as he told himself that it was all in his head. He was not really here in this graveyard of the ages. He was in bed, next to Roy, safe and sound. He could wake up at any time. "Mine!" a voice roared, deep and wild as wind whipped the sand into eddies, and Ed braced himself for some kind of attack. Instead, the grit drew itself into a column as thick and impassable as stone. It spun in a vortex, twisting itself tighter and tighter until, as abruptly as it started, the gale fell away, letting the sand drop with a hiss to reveal the figure in its midst. Shock and confusion clattered up his spine, stiffening his muscles and catching his breath as he blinked, trying to understand. He had expected Kaleo to emerge, but the person in front of him looked nothing like the young king. Instead, it was the same face he saw in the mirror every day, watching him with cold, hard eyes. No automail, he realized, just a flesh hand and arm that looked normal and real. No arrays either. The forehead of his reflection was clear and unmarked by anything except a faint twist of a frown. Apart from that, the creature in front of him was physically identical, as if the pair of them had been cut from the same cloth, and only differing experiences had created any variety in their appearance. Yet, what was inside, below the surface, was completely different. He could feel it as surely as he could sense the sun on his skin. Inside that body, there was no Ed. It was just the gate, sure and immortal, unimpeded by Kaleo's mediation or Ed's resistance. It had never taken any kind of shape before. It was never more than a heavy, taut presence until now. Even when its knowledge had found its way into Ed's brain, or its voice had spoken from his lips, Kaleo had been the go-between. "The boy cannot come here. You are alone." Ed scowled, hackles rising at the sound of his voice saying the gate's words. "What the fuck do you want?" The gate tipped its head to the side, braid slipping over its shoulder as it narrowed its eyes thoughtfully, taking in the measure of him. "That body," it murmured at length. "Control over your flesh and blood and bone. You fight against me at every turn, stubborn and willful." "What? So you want to force me to rebuild the damn gate for you? As if I have a choice." It shook its head slowly, like a disappointed adult might to a child's stupid opinion. "Reconstructing what is lost is a pointless maneuver. a mortal attempt at preventing the inevitable. You can never hope to trap what makes its home in the woman, and I cannot allow it to roam free. What are you talking about? Ed spat, not letting his guard down as his head began to ache dully. You were the one that said that the gate had to be put back together. Without it, the energy isn't controlled. It'll destroy Amstris. It'll kill everyone. It shrugged, a fluid, easy gesture without the automail, and an expression almost like boredom crossed its features. Irrelevant. Previously, I could not fight, nothing but a spark. I could only hope to survive. Now there is power. It sings in your veins and shines in your core. The key to victory. Its eyes took on a wild gleam, and it clenched its fists at its side in determination. I will have control. I will have dominance. I will destroy that woman and all that hides within her. Its voice dropped to a whisper. I will have my freedom. Ed clenched his teeth, shifting his weight as his double began to circle, its boots crunching in the thin layer of sand coated over the stone. Kaleo, human once, and as much a victim of the gate as anyone, had always been on Ed's side, doing everything a child could to help him see a clear way forward. Now, he realized that the gate had just been biding its time to get what it really wanted. Neither the light nor the dark that the threshold had contained wished to return to their place. This was no longer about restoring the balance. It was war, and Amstris was the site of invasion. Over my dead body. The gate raised its eyebrow, and Ed found himself at the receiving end of his own derisive gaze. A dead body is of no use to me. Did it ever occur to you that perhaps my presence within you was more by design than by accident? Did you ever ask yourself why, as a child, I took your brother's body and merely robbed you, the instigator of a limb? It smiled. It was a test. Fury was a red flag across Ed's vision, sharp and bloody as he lunged forward, his automail fist connecting with a resounding crack. The gate's head snapped back, but it merely shifted its weight, watching Ed as he snarled. A test? You stole my brother and ruined his life as a fucking test? You passed, it said, as if that were any consolation for years of misery. Your father showed signs of promise, but I had never realized that his son would have so much more potential. You did not surrender. You did not hide. You returned. Then you took your brother back from us and suffered the consequences. Did you ever wonder why we did not simply take you there? Then, body, mind, and soul? A flying punch caught Ed by surprise, and he sprawled back on the stone, feeling the grit bite into his elbows and tasting blood in his mouth. His ears rang, and his vision bloomed with darkness. When he finally managed to clear his head, the gate was standing over him, watching him with disdain. I knew what was happening. I knew that there was barely any time left before I was overwhelmed by the poison within the gate. Yet I clung on, determined. You were a contingency plan. I knew that, in your arrogance, you would find your way back to the doors and make your demands when you realized the price we asked for your brother's return. If necessary, I could claim your body and use it as my own. Annoyance flickered across its face, and Ed smirked. I did not account for the fact that I would be so weak or you so stubborn. I also forgot the boy. That was perhaps my biggest mistake. He is a human child, meaningless in the great scheme of things, yet his life formed the foundations of the construction of the gate. I should have known that he would not fall as easily as the rest of it. Carmine did not just make a deal with the shadows, did she? Ed asked, wiping blood from his lip as he got to his feet, keeping his distance as he matched the gate circling, stride for stride. She made it with both of you, light and dark, or you would have done something to fight back. You never realized you were signing your own death warrant until it was too late. How many centuries did it take for the truth to sink in? For something all-powerful, you're not very bright. Anger flickered across the echo of Ed's face, and he tensed himself for another attack. Once we were nothing more than machines of light and shade, lifeless. Then the energy and spirits of every extinguished being passed through the doors, Alchemists began to meddle and play God. War and strife were the birthplace of our awareness. Humans live in a black and white world. Dark is evil, light is good. It sneered again, marching forward until they stood toe to toe. Did you really think it was that simple? That you were host to the good and pure while the woman contained all that was evil and tainted? How naive. In the end, nothing is that straightforward. Everything, from the lowliest insects to the gods, are out for themselves and will do anything they can to get what they want. Morals are for the weak, for humanity. All that matters is survival. That is a battle you have already lost. He lunged, fingers wrapping like iron bands around Ed's metal forearm as he bore him to the ground, overwhelming him with sheer strength as they rolled, each scrabbling for an advantage. Gracelessly, Ed brought his knee up with a grunt, snarling in annoyance as the gate blocked what would have been a crippling blow and pressed down on Ed's throat, struggling to keep its grip as he lashed out with his automail fist, punching it solidly in the side of the head. It slumped sideways, scrambling away and jumping to its feet as Ed rolled onto his hands and knees, panting hard as he watched the gate through a veil of gold. "If you could, you would have taken control of me already. But you can't, can you?" he shouted. Carmine gave herself up to the shadows. She relished the power they gave her and let them in. "You? You're fighting against me. As an alchemist, I can reach your knowledge and power, but you can't take anything from me unless I give it up." "Surrender is inevitable," the gate murmured, voice soft and cajoling. "You can only stop me as long as you have the strength. If it were not for the boy, I would already have you. One moment of weakness, that is all I need." "You'll never get it," Ed assured him, climbing to his feet and rolling his shoulders, ready for round two. "Really?" the gate purred, waving a hand around at the shifting landscape. "Yet, here you are, with your body utterly at the mercy of your subconscious. Every time you sleep, you open the way for me to find you. Which one of us do you truly believe is stronger? Just think, your lover is lying beside you, oblivious to how much danger he is in. A fire alchemist, strong and sure, a perfect host." Ed leapt, teeth gritted in a snarl of fury as he crashed into the gate's chest, rolling them over and over to the border of stone and sand. He grabbed long blonde tresses and slammed its head back on the sharp edge, oblivious to the sudden howl of the wind and the rising hiss and fall of the sand waves. Blood smudged on the rock, but the blow only increased the gate's anger, and Ed grunted as a hard kick in the ribs sent him skidding back across the rough-hewn square. He slithered to a halt, his left hand hanging out into empty space. A quick glance down made his stomach swoop in alarm at the dizzying drop. The sand had shifted, the wind scouring it away and revealing the massive pillar of stone on which they fought. All around, ruins cropped out of the dunes like tombstones, and Ed shuddered as he recognized Central's landmarks. From the lions in front of the library to the flat face of Central Command, they were all there. "Your world is already dead," the gate spat, placing a boot squarely on his chest and slamming him back into the rock as he tried to rise. "And so are you." "Like hell I am!" Ed grabbed its ankle, wrenching with all his might and hearing the sharp crack of bone. The gate's face, his face, crumpled in pain as it staggered sideways, crashing down and giving Ed the chance to rise up and slam his fists into its shoulders, pinning it mercilessly over the long fall to the dusty earth below. It plucked at his hands and wrists, only to hiss in pain as his fingers touched the underside of his flesh arm. A sharp line of fire shot up Ed's veins and into his chest, burning with a heat that flirted with agony. A quick glance showed him the same red line he had seen when fighting Lamia, darker and more vivid as it flared to the gate's touch. The gate slumped, hands falling limply to its side as it blinked up at him. He had expected fear or anger, some form of emotion at the danger of its situation, but its features were placid, as its lips curled in a mocking smile. "You're forgetting one thing," it said softly, voice almost lost amongst the hush of the sand. "I hold your life in my hands." It snapped its right arm up, striking Ed solidly over the array on his chest, plunging its fingers into flesh that was suddenly no more solid than vapor. The brutal blow bent him double, and his fingers slipped on skin that had turned to ash. Blinking, he watched the mimic of his body crumble away into nothing, as the pillar of stone began to groan and crack, splintering apart and tottering uncontrollably on its foundations. Ed clutched at his chest, taking deep, ragged breaths, but getting nothing from them. Dark streaks sprawled across his vision as his blood sang in his ears, shrill alarm bells that tore apart the tattered canvas of his dream. He sat upright in bed, blankets pooling around his waist as he struggled for air, fighting fiercely against the heave and spasm of his ruined lungs. Every mouthful was dead and useless, and his mind spun dizzily as his tongue was coated with a metallic tang. Clumsily he got to his feet, staggering towards the basic bathroom attached to the dorm. The porcelain sink was cool beneath his left palm as he braced himself against it, forcing himself to stop coughing and taking snatching, shallow breaths as he spat into the basin. His eyes were shut tight, his mind completely focused on the simple act of staying alive as he skirted the edge of unconsciousness. Weak-legged and shaking, he could feel the heavy, gloating presence of the gate in his mind, waiting for the moment when he surrendered, when he saved his life by handing control over to its greedy clutches. A hand on his back made him open his eyes, and he met Roy's frightened gaze in the mirror. Ed wanted to reassure him, but nothing could wipe away the gory testimony of blood that stained the sink. Besides, he did not have the breath in him to speak. All he could do was let his eyelids fall again and concentrate on every whisper of air that passed his lips. If the gate wanted to play chicken with his life, then so be it. He would never relinquish control. Not with Roy right there, the first target for its hunger. Something shifted in his head, and he felt the gate's distraction like thunder in his mind. It was the chance he needed to fight it, forcing all of his energy inwards in a blow that prized its grip from the frontier of his consciousness. It was plunged back, snarling and furious, into the dark recesses where it belonged. Kaleo's presence was a warm flood, soothing and gentle as he took his place firmly on the boundary between Ed's being and that of the gate. He could feel the child's fear and knew that Kaleo's existence was also under threat. If the gate took control, then the boy's strength would fade to nothing but a whisper. And if Ed died and it sought a new host, there was no guarantee that Kaleo would survive the transition. It was two against one, and Ed felt ridiculously relieved that the boy was on his side. A tight, hard knot in his chest shifted, stirring up the cough anew. He hacked and sputtered as his head buzzed. Staggering, he slumped against the sink, his limbs shaking too much to support his weight. It was only the arms around him that kept him upright, and he could make out the panicked beat of Roy's heart over the desperate rasp of his breathing. Something tender bloomed beneath his breastbone. Alchemy whispered softly within him, merging into bone and deeper, cleansing away blood and pain as he finally took a deep, gulping breath, savoring the taste of life that brushed away the coppery taste on his tongue. He felt faint and lightheaded, as if the world were a distant portrait locked in its frame, and he could only admire it from a distance. Thoughts, thick and slow, unraveled in his mind. Logic reduced to shreds of fear and pain and rage. Roy's hand brushed Ed's hair back from his forehead, heartbreakingly gentle, as if it feared that Ed would fall apart at his touch. Weakly, Ed opened his eyes, blinking at the stark light that filled the bathroom. He was still slumped in Roy's arms, pressed against the warm expanse of his bare chest as if Roy could protect him simply through the act of holding him close. "I'm okay," he managed to mumble, realizing how stupid that sounded. After all, there was enough blood in the sink and flecked on the mirror to scream the truth loud and clear. "Didn't mean to wake you." "Like I care about that," Roy said softly, pushing Ed away so that he could get a better look at him. Whatever he saw obviously did not offer much reassurance, because he swallowed tightly, pressing a hand to Ed's forehead to check for fever. When he found nothing, he brushed his dry palm down, rubbing his thumb softly along Ed's jaw as his gaze turned searching. "You haven't coughed for days. I thought you were getting better." Ed shut his eyes, wishing he could lie. A few simple words and Roy could relax, could recover and regroup and emerge as strong as ever. But trust did not work that way. "So did I," he whispered, voice hoarse and dead in his mouth as he let the truth sink in. Before, he had cast away the doctor's grim predictions and ignored Carmine's mocking words about the gate keeping him alive. He simply had not believed them. How could they be right when he felt so alive? Now he had all the proof he needed. In one motion, cold and calculating, the gate had shown him the true balance of power. It had treated the symptoms of his decline without removing the cause, leaving him to die bit by bit until he relied on it for every damn breath. Now he realized that it was not even the gate keeping him going, but Kaleo's presence acting as a conduit for the alchemy that patched his damaged lungs. The boy was the channel through which the gate's knowledge could flow to Ed without overwhelming him. The Babylonian king was literally the last defense Ed had, and he was not sure how long he could last now that the gate had shown its true colors. Mutely, he shook his head, choosing to look down at the floor rather than see the despair in Roy's eyes. He did not lift his head until both of Roy's hands cupped his face, sure and warm and real. The silence stretched through the pair of them, full of fears that could find no voice. Slowly, softly, Roy wrapped his arms around Ed, slipping his hands under his t-shirt and holding on as if Ed were his anchor in an unstoppable storm, as if, should he let go, he would be lost. Ed pressed his face into Roy's neck, breathing in the scent of him and trying to fix this feeling, this security, in his mind. If someone had told him a year ago that one day Roy would be the one to make him feel safe and calm and centered, even when his life was shaking itself to pieces, he would have thought they were insane. Now it was like he did not make sense without him anymore. As if, somehow, Roy twisted the focus of the world until Ed could look at all its flaws and finally understand. He swallowed a hard, taut lump in his throat as he clung on, careful not to press against Roy's wound, but still wanting to close his arms as tight as he could, to press himself closer and pretend that nothing was happening but this. If he shut his eyes, he could ignore the blood. If he cleared his mind, he could chase away the panic. But fear looped its thorns around his heart, tearing it with every beat, and he knew that Roy was too caught in its clutches to help him. "What happened?" Roy asked quietly, lifting a hand to cup the back of Ed's head, stroking his hair in an unconscious exhibition of his uncertainty. "Why now? I don't know what changed. I thought you were stronger." It bit into Ed to hear Roy sounding so thrown, as if the world had pulled the rug from under his feet and he was lying bruised and battered on the floor. He was normally so sure of himself, so in control. But this was something entirely out of Roy's hands, and he was scrabbling for some kind of hold on the situation, for something he could take and own and work with. Stepping back, Ed linked his fingers through Roy's, tugging him with gentle insistence back towards the bed. "Come on, it looks like a murder scene in here. Besides, idiot, you're meant to be resting." "Ed." Roy's voice held that warning tone that stated loud and clear that no manner of evasion would work, but he followed anyway, lured back towards the thin mattress and the warm embrace of the blankets. "Please tell me." Ed crawled into the bed, shifting over to make room and holding back the covers, waiting patiently for Roy to get in next to him. He needed this, a close, caressing nest, a bubble of the world where there was just the two of them. Somehow it made his fears less, galvanizing his confidence and determination. Here he could speak without any trace of a tremor in his voice, and Roy needed that as much as Ed. He talked slowly, thinking through every word and phrase with care, turning each sentence over in his mind as he dissected it for meaning. Roy stayed quiet, lying face to face with Ed and stroking a hand up and down his side in silent request to keep going. More than once, his fingers tightened around Ed's hip, fierce and protective. The only light spilled into the dorm from the bathroom, and his face was unreadable, caught between too many conflicting emotions for Ed to pin down.
"What are you going to do?"
Roy asked quietly when Ed ran out of words. He shrugged, his hair hushing against the pillow as he shook his head. "I have to rebuild the gate. That's pretty obvious. I can't let what's in me take control, and I can't let all that power tear Amstrad apart like it did Babylon." He sighed, a frustrated frown creasing his forehead. "I just don't know how. I don't even know where to begin. If I could see the array that priest used, I might have some chance, but that's somewhere in the desert, probably under a sand dune."
"If he went through the gate, wouldn't what's in you have that knowledge?"
Roy asked, glancing away with a small scowl of his own.
"Not that it would be willing to help you. From what you said, the last thing it will let you do is put the gate back together."
"Like it can fucking stop me," Ed snarled, feeling the firm, sure thrill of anger. Good. That was better than fear. That was something he could rely on. "I'm not its puppet, and I'll do whatever it takes to stop it. All it wants is to fight Carmine. To fight what's in Carmine. And whether it wins or loses, it doesn't matter, because it'll still turn the world to shit." He laughed coldly, realizing that, a matter of hours ago, he had been determined not to bring the gate back into existence. Now he was singing a different tune. If he didn't know better, he would think it was some kind of sick reverse psychology. But he had felt the gate's hunger as if it were his own, sharp and bitter like bile in his mouth. He pressed himself back into the pillow, hands tightening around Roy as he muttered, "If I could get back to Babylon, if I could just get one good look at the array, then maybe I could do something." He glanced out of the window over Roy's shoulder, seeing that night still held the world fast in its grip. "I can't use what the priest did. Even if it didn't sacrifice thousands of people, it's still fucked up. It might work for a while, but eventually it'll come back around to this, the world falling apart and no choices left."
"It would be someone else's problem," Roy pointed out quietly,
but Ed could feel the reluctance in the body next to him, and the intensity of Roy's moral compass fighting against the seduction of an easy way out. "Wouldn't trust them not to mess it up," Ed said, his voice heavy as he gave a hollow laugh. "I thought once I got Al's body back I was done with the gate. Thought I'd never have to see the fucking thing again. Couldn't have been more wrong." His automail hand clicked quietly as it circled the fingers into a fist, flexing the joints. Life was not fair, he knew that, but it did not stop him from wishing he could lash out. That, for just once, he could ignore responsibility and just turn his back on it all. He wanted something to fight, to punish, and the only things here were him and Roy.
"What about you?"
Roy asked, his voice torn and haggard at the edges, as though he did not want to know, but could not bear to live in blissful ignorance,
even if you could rebuild the gate and put whatever is in you and Carmine back behind the doors. What happens to you?
Ed's breath halted in his throat, struck motionless by the quiet frankness of Roy's question. It would be too easy to ignore the personal consequences of what he had to do. He had indulged in the same self-deception when he got Al's body back. Then there had been the same flow of insidious fear that it would take everything he had to give, every ounce of life and fragment of courage. But he had still moved forward without flinching. It was for Al, always for Al. And besides, there had been nothing, no other focus in his life to carry on for, but the endless quest for his brother. Now it was bigger than that. Massive, but personal all the same. If he failed, it would not just be Al who suffered. If he could not find what it took, both the knowledge and the determination, to put the gate back together, then it would be the world that had to face the consequences. One life lost for the salvation of many. It was a sensible philosophy, one that made perfect sense to everyone except the person whose existence would be the price paid.
Looking up at Roy, he knew that the older man already knew his response. He wanted Ed to deny it, wanted to say that it would cost him nothing. But the alchemy would take its pound of flesh. If the power did not consume him as the gate reformed, then the loss of Kaleo would leave Ed with nothing but the battered shell of a body no longer able to take a breath. He stretched up a fraction, pressing his lips to Roy's, knowing that his lover could taste the answer even if the words were never spoken. Rebuilding the gate would kill him. He could feel the tension in Roy's body, taste the fear on his tongue, and, as they broke apart, Roy was shaking his head, trying to dispute the truth. "No," he whispered, pressing his forehead against Ed's. "Ed, please, there must be something." Ed kissed him again, nipping in a soft trace of apology before he murmured, "It's not like I'm going to give up. I won't lie down and let it happen. I just don't know." Roy cut him off, his kiss firm, as if trying to force Ed to leave it there, to leave his promised voice, but ignore the doubts that pressed down on the both of them, heavy as lead. Tunneling his fingers into Ed's hair, he stroked through the long strands, as if he wished he could tie himself to Ed with ropes of gold. Teeth nipped at his bottom lip, seeking entry as he pressed himself closer, letting the flood of sensation silence the chattering thoughts that whirled in his mind, surrendering himself to this, one piece of paradise before he had to face hell. Roy's hand cupped his shoulder, spanning flesh and automail as if one was no different, no less attractive than the other. Fingertips plucked at the scars scored through Ed's flesh, as though they were harp strings, sending a rippling cascade of sensation flooding down his spine. His skin trembled in response, overwhelmed by the simplest attentions and already craving more. A tug at his t-shirt lifted him briefly from the thick, luxurious haze of want, and he knelt up to strip it off, letting it fall to the floor. He did not need to look to know that Roy's eyes were on him, but a quick glance still brought a hot flush to his cheeks. There was lust in Roy's gaze, but it was underscored by a kind of awe that sent shivers dancing over Ed's body. It was as if he truly thought there was nothing in the world more beautiful than Ed, nor anyone more deserving of his touch. It was the most empowering thing that Ed had ever known, more than the surge of the gate's alchemy, more than the thrill of knowledge. It made him strong. He needed this. Every part of him thrummed with the urge to prove himself that he was still Edward Elric, not some tainted puppet of the gate. His voice had been taken and corrupted by its words, making anything he could say meaningless. But when he touched Roy, there were no lies. Body to body, heart to heart, there was no room for misunderstanding. When they were together, everything else could be pushed aside. In Roy's arms, he was not even the Full Metal Alchemist. He was just Ed, and Roy wanted nothing more of him than he could give. Moving to sit up beside him, Roy's breath caught on an uncomfortable gasp, and a brief spasm of pain flickered across his features. One hand flew to the bandage around his waist, and Ed brushed it aside gently, running light fingertips over the clean cloth. "Idiot," he murmured fondly, nudging Roy down to the pillows. "Lie down before you hurt yourself." Slowly, Roy did as he was told, stretching out along the length of the mattress on his back as he held up his hands in surrender, giving himself up entirely to Ed's whims. "I'm all yours," he murmured huskily, dark eyes narrowed to blissful slits as Ed moved, straddling his hips and shifting his weight, grinding lightly. It was a tantalizing motion, more arousing than satisfying, and Roy's frustrated groan was a low note in the air, black velvet over Ed's skin. Running his hands down to the waistband of the uniform trousers that strained over a very obvious bulge, Ed brushed along the boundary of flesh and fabric with fluttering, feather-like strokes. He leant forward to press open-mouthed kisses across Roy's chest, shoulders, arms, everywhere he could reach without shifting away from the growing storm of heat building between them. Hands tangled in his hair, pulling with tender insistence until Roy could kiss him, arching up into the cradle of Ed's hips and rubbing like a cat, giving as good as he got. Ed moaned, feeling the prickle of need flooding every nerve, and gratefully succumbed to its call, losing himself in the rising fire. With a growl, he broke away from Roy's seductive kiss, dropping to the smooth line of his collarbone and scraping the edges of his teeth along its hard edge, feeling the chest beneath him tremble in a shuddering gasp.
"Too many clothes,"
Roy gritted out, hooking a finger into Ed's belt and tugging gracelessly, too lost in need for any kind of finesse. The shimmying of leather and the softer, more seductive whisper of cloth hushed in the air before they were both skin to skin, hot despite the autumnal chill that crept in around the window.
"Lube,"
Ed choked out as Roy's fingers wrapped around his length, stroking in a slow, deliberate rhythm that only built the heat in the pit of his stomach higher.
"Please tell me there's lube here somewhere."
"Drawer," Roy managed, making no move to reach for it as he continued what he was doing, his eyes impossibly dark as he watched Ed's face, reveling in every flicker of passion that Ed could not have hidden if he tried. Somehow, he got together the coordination to grab the slim tube and get the cap off, putting some on his flesh fingers before moving his hand down behind himself and pressing gently, trying to hold onto his control as he concentrated on making himself ready. He knew Roy was expecting the cool kiss of the fluid on his skin, was expecting Ed to penetrate him. And when nothing was forthcoming, Ed saw Roy's brow quirk in confusion.
"What are you?"
Roy's exploring hand found Ed's slick fingers, making Ed's breath catch in his throat as he felt Roy's chest heave with a gulp of indrawn air and heard his soft, hungry growl of realization. Finally, he shifted position, moving down to slick Roy's length and guide him to the right place. Fingers tightened on his hips, and he groaned in frustrated need as Roy stopped him from lowering his weight.
"Ed, are you sure?" he asked in a strangled voice. "I don't want to hurt you."
"You won't," Ed hissed, writhing against Roy's restraining hands.
Just fucking let me."
Roy tipped his hips to the right angle, pressing steadily in as Ed arched with pleasure, tipping his head back as he surrendered to the sensation of having Roy this close, this much a part of him. Keeping a slow, steady rhythm was impossible. They were both already wound too tight, and when Roy's hand found his erection again, Ed let out a tight sound that bordered on a whine, feeling the heat take on a burning edge as it climbed upwards through his body, spreading along flesh and metal limbs as it filled him to the brim. Panting breaths punctuated the air, filling it with whispers as they moved together, gathering pace as control became elusive. Roy lifted his hand to Ed's face. Ed automatically turned into the palm, pressing a kiss to the skin before opening his eyes and getting caught in the passion-drugged fire of Roy's gaze. There was more than just lust in those dark depths, something brighter and more steady than the flash and flare of temporary want. But behind that glow there were faint shadows of despair, as if Roy knew that this was something that they could not have forever. Ed closed his eyes, trying to keep his grip on Roy's sweat-slicked hips and to hold back as he was tempted closer to the edge with every stroke and thrust. Roy bucked, trembling under Ed's palms like a string pulled to breaking point, as he choked Ed's name as if it were a promise, relishing his release. One simple word tore away the last of Ed's restraint, and he shook as the hot tide of his climax crashed over him, dragging at his flesh with hot, needy hands and leaving him drained and panting. Carefully, Roy shifted his hips, pulling out and tugging Ed down next to him, holding him close as their breathing gradually returned to normal. Their bodies resonated with satisfied pleasure, still trembling slightly in each other's arms. The sheets were a mess, but Ed could not bring himself to care as he draped his leg over Roy's, wishing that they never had to move from this spot, that they never had to acknowledge the danger that awaited both of them. Beyond the window, the rain still thundered down, frantic drums of war against the streets of Central. Weak pearl light glowed in the sky beyond the glass panes, and Ed grimaced as he realized they would soon need to get up and face the day, whatever it had in store.
"You should sleep,"
he whispered quietly, nuzzling against Roy's throat. You can't have had more than a few hours.
What about you?
The gate was waiting. He knew it, could feel it like a cancer at the very back of his mind, biding its time for one chink in his defense. He should have felt exhausted, bone-weary and weak, but his body was buzzing with the steadily increasing rush of adrenaline and the low hum of alchemy. It was building in him like a summer storm, turning the lethargic, sated warmth into something more violent and restless. I don't need it. Even if I did, I'd stay awake. I can't give the gate the chance that it's looking for. He glanced towards the bathroom, thinking of the crimson fluid that painted the sink with its accusation. If it kills me, it could still find another host. It knows you, knows about your alchemy. I don't want that thing to lay a fucking hand on you.
You're just going to stay awake until this is all over?
Roy murmured, hands still moving soothing strokes over Ed's shoulder and down his side as if trying to reassure himself that this was all real, that it would not melt away with the morning light.
Something tells me that won't be long, Ed replied, catching Roy's hand in his and twining their fingers together, rubbing his thumb across Roy's skin. Another day and night, probably not much longer.
Roy's fingers tightened around his, wordlessly voicing every fear. In those stark terms, it was hard to deny that it would only be a matter of hours before everything came to a head, before Ed was forced to take a course of action that could be his last.
Stop it, Ed whispered, lifting his hand to Roy's face and tracing his fingertips over his cheek and through rough stubble. Stop thinking about it. I've beaten the odds before. Maybe there's another way to do this. It doesn't have to end.
He swallowed, unable to voice the fact that it could be his life that was lost.
Like that.
It was a false hope, but he could see Roy snatching at it like a lifeline. Ed tried to smile. Roy needed to know that they weren't locked in a course that led only to disaster. If they all came out on the other side of this alive, it would be a miracle. But, for once, Ed found himself longing to believe in the impossible.
"Promise me something?"
Roy asked, placing a finger under Ed's chin and lifting his face so that he had no choice but to look Roy in the eye.
"Promise you won't try and do this alone. We can all help. None of us are defenseless. Maybe Carmine's too powerful for us to take down, but we can distract her. Don't go off on your own to find her. I wouldn't forgive you for that, and neither would Al."
Ed bit his lip, wishing he could make some excuse and hope that Roy forgot all about it. But steely determination shone in his eyes. He would not settle for anything less than what he asked for. Even if Ed argued that he wanted to protect them, to keep them all safe from Carmine's clutches, it would not be enough to make Roy watch from the sidelines. Eventually he nodded, hoping that it would be enough. For a moment he thought Roy would argue, that he would extricate the oath from him at any cost. But eventually he relaxed back into the pillows. Before long, dark eyes drifted closed, and Roy's breathing became steady and deep. He was tired. Ed could see that, written in every line of his face. It was not just the exhaustion of hours of missed sleep, but a weariness that drilled down into his soul. The past few weeks had battered Roy into submission, testing his sense of duty to Amstress and the limits of his physical and emotional endurance. For Ed, every day was a personal battle. It was about his mind, his soul, his survival. For Roy, it was more than that. At least Ed had some vague sense of control on the situation, but Roy was left helpless, with nothing but half-truths and speculation to guide him. Carefully, Ed untangled himself from Roy's arms, slipping across the mattress and getting to his feet. It was tempting to stay by Roy's side, safe and warm, but he did not dare risk falling asleep. It was better to be up and alert. Besides, his body was restless, thrumming on a wire of nervous energy. He itched for a course of action, a clear way forward, but his mind was filled with clammy fingers of confusion, losing itself within its own unanswerable questions.
Padding quietly across the floor, he grabbed his clothes before slipping into the bathroom, shutting the door behind him and flicking on the shower. The hiss of the water was almost drowned out by the sound of the storm outside, and Ed hastily ducked under the spray, hoping that it did not wake Roy. The warm torrent eased his muscles and filled his hair with its weight, dragging at his scalp and sweeping across his skin like hot silk. He leaned back against the cool tiles, ignoring their bite as he closed his eyes, losing himself in his thoughts. He needed to see the array that had created the gate. Perhaps it was flawed, but it would give him a starting point on which to build. Time was of the essence, and alchemy on that scale took a lifetime's research to pull off. He was supposed to be a genius, but even he had his limits. Softly, like the lingering traces of a muted nightmare, Kaleo presented his memories, but none of them showed the array clearly. There was a general sensation of fear and power, and hints of curved lines that Ed could make out in the stone, but they were fragments, useless. He needed to get to Babylon. He needed to stand there in that spot and understand each component of the design. Without that, he may as well be trying to magic the gate into existence. A memory stirred. Neither Kaleo's nor the gate's, but his own. He and Al had read through so many books in search of information about the Philosopher's Stone that they had assembled a massive amount of trivial alchemical knowledge. There were theories and hypotheses abound on the uses of alchemy, from healing to destruction. But there was something else, something different. It was a book like all the others, dusty and faded. At the time they had laughed at it, reading the title and joking about how some people should not be allowed near pen and paper. But now, it could be just what he was looking for. He had to get to the library. Hastily, he flicked off the taps and wrung out his hair before grabbing a towel and drying himself off. His clothes had seen better days, but he pulled them on anyway, ignoring the way they clung to his still damp skin. There was no point in getting dry if he was going out in the downpour anyway. The bathroom was a mess of steam and blood, but with a soft curse he rubbed at the mirror, leaving the glass clear of haze and flecks of crimson. The sink was another matter. Filled with trails of thick sludge, it was enough to turn his stomach, and he quickly began to rinse away the gruesome evidence. Something chimed like a fork on a champagne glass, and he reached into the swirling pink water and felt something small and hard, about the size of a bean. Lifting it out, he blinked in confusion, turning the transparent stone over and over in his palm. It shone like crystal, and at its heart was a tiny shard of gray stone, no bigger than a splinter. What the hell?
It is from the array that destroyed the station. Do you remember?
Ed lifted his eyes to frown at his reflection, trying to understand what Kaleo was murmuring in the hollow vault of his mind. No.
You were putting the pieces back together. I did not understand what was happening. I tried to warn you, but it was too late. Something hurt the inside of your wrist.
This? Ed asked, motioning with the hand that held the crystal pinched from within thumb and forefinger. This came from that? How?
The fragment of stone eventually entered your blood and traveled through your body. You saw it yourself, the red line up your arm that appeared when you were fighting Lamia. In the end, it became caught in the damaged tissue of your lungs. There the alchemy is strong, protecting you from your illness, giving you life. The energy accumulated around the core of stone, attracted by the traces of power that remained in the minuscule fraction of Carmine's array. Dark and light were drawn together. It is a seed of balance.
I don't understand, Ed murmured, staring down at the glittering fragment in his hand. What use is it? What good can it do?
Sometimes there are things beyond our understanding, beyond our control. The gate did nothing to bring this about, and neither did I. All I know is that what you hold is untainted by malice or virtue. It is pure alchemy given form.
Kaleo's voice faded away, leaving Ed still standing at the sink, listening to the gush of water from the taps as he stared at the tiny rock. It was gemstone brilliant apart from the tiny gray flaw at its core.
a piece of the station platform on which Carmine had carved her devastating array. With a hiss of irritation, he shoved it in his pocket, hearing it clink against the gold ring he had pulled off the dead thug's finger when this all started. Another mystery. Just what he fucking needed. Shutting the taps off, he slipped out the door, leaving the steam to curl in his wake. Roy was still sleeping peacefully, nestled under the covers like a hibernating bear, his dark hair sticking up above the blankets in tufts. His face was calm and smooth, uninterrupted by lines of stress or concern, and Ed felt his heart clench at the sight. He was too peaceful, too perfect to awaken, but so far the doctor's orders that Ed should be attended at all times had been obeyed. If he slipped out now and Roy woke up to find him gone... Ed shook his head, swearing quietly under his breath as he scanned the room for a paper and pen. This could not wait. He had to find out if the book he remembered was a lead or just another dead end before the precious hours left were whittled away to nothing, along with his choices. Time was running out. He could feel events rushing to their conclusion around him in an unstoppable riptide, harsh and merciless. With one last look over his shoulder, Ed slipped out the door, leaving Roy behind in blissful slumber. With any luck, he would be back before he was missed. And maybe he would be one step closer to rebuilding the gate, and finally bringing this nightmare to an end.